In a world where podcasts have become lame and stale.
And now we see on line 33 of the Louisiana tax code that
two men have come to kick it up a notch.
And you see these tax code laws are in place. They're like, who the hell are you?
Ben Heckendorf.
Tell me where the president's dog is.
I will never tell you where the president's dog is.
Tell me or I'll shoot you in the foot.
Never!
Jason Jones.
What the hell is that?
It's a giant asteroid, man. Headed directly toward Earth.
How much time is left to stop it?
One day.
That's six more than I need.
From the internet that brought you a dancing baby and spyware comes the BenHeck.com podcast. On a good day, it's a great podcast. On a bad day, it's the best there is.
Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 50. I'm Ben Heckendorn.
And I'm Jason Jones.
Yes. Sorry we've been gone for a month. Now we are back.
For now.
I blame Jones.
Might as well.
Okay. Okay, our topics today. We're going to do Apple versus Microsoft. We're tired of all the whatever. So it's time that it's time that Apple gets it. So
good.
Also, we're going to discuss laptops versus desktops, since this apparently is kind of a computer issue. Or by issue, I mean episode, not problem. Of course, it could be a computer issue as well. And also, I don't know about you, but I'd really like to chide in on this government bailout thing.
Sure.
I don't usually talk about politics publicly, but I'm going to this time.
Sweet.
Which will include my presidential nomination, so to speak, you know? You know, Sheryl Crow, Vince Vaughn, Leonardo DiCaprio, they all let people know who they're voting for. Actually, not so much this time. Thank God. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it's not like last time. Maybe they learned.
Millionaires telling people what other millionaires to vote for. Only in America. Anyway, but yeah. So we'll start with regular gaming news. Also, as far as the intros, I've got a lot of cool intro ideas, like, you know, Mario Begins, Final Fantasy Football I want to do. And, of course, the Christmas special, It's a Wonderful Half-Life. But probably going to have to wait until Possum Man is done. But if, as you can see on my site, it should be done.
Woman.
Whatever. I call it Possum Man, too. I don't care what anyone says. It'll be done by Halloween. It should be doable.
I'm sort of figuring out
the 5.1 stuff.
Yeah, it's in 5.1.
Yeah, it's in 5.1 as well. Oh, also,
spare no expense.
Yeah. Also, as I'm going to have on my site, we're going to have a contest. I've got too many guitars in my basement contest. So, we'll talk about that a little later on. All right, so gaming news. Apparently Nintendo is finally making a new DS.
Oh, yeah, what is it, the DSi?
Yes.
Crime Scene Investigation or some crap? DSi Redmond.
Oh, there's semen all over this Game Boy. It's obviously the bad guy left it here.
So what they do, they added like a microphone to it or something?
No, there's already a microphone. They added a camera.
Or
and
a camera,
playback.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's good, I guess.
And they're dumping the Game Boy Advance slot.
Hmm.
I'm surprised it's taken them. They said it's not going to come out until 2009, so that probably means like January 2nd. But I'm surprised it's taken them this long to make a new version. It's been like well over 2 years.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, it's kind of rare for Nintendo.
I guess the big beef is without the Game Boy Advance slot, all this add-on peripheral crap won't work. But it's not like someone's going to come up and put a gun to your head and tell you to buy the new Nintendo DS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, how are you going to play, you know, Guitar Hero on tour now or whatever the hell that thing is?
Yeah. You know, they've sold so many Nintendo DSs. I think still, by far, the most common model is going to be the current one.
Yeah. So.
Oh, Rock Band came out since the last time we had a podcast. Rock Band 2, I mean.
Yes.
Not kind Rock of... Woman.
No, it isn't. But, yeah, it's pretty cool. So, we played it a fair shake, I guess.
And, yeah, mostly on weekends, but whatever.
And all the songs, well, all but the three that they won't let you export from Rock Band 1 over to Rock Band 2.
Oh, yeah. I think, who told me? It might have been my brother-in-law said that the 20 free songs that I'd forgotten about are coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
What are they? Do we know?
They haven't announced them, but they finally got the site up where you can go and put the little code in and all that. And so then when they finally give you, like, your redemption code or whatever you want to call the thing, they'll email it to you. So I suppose I should do that one of these days. So.
Oh, and then you put it into Marketplace?
Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of figured those wouldn't come out until after it comes out for PS3, which is in about 2 weeks now.
Mm.
And plus, that'll be close to the time when the new Guitar Hero is coming out, which was secretly the time when I really thought they'd bring it out. Would probably be, like, just before. Kind of like Activision brought out the new Metallica album for Guitar Hero just a couple days before Rock Band 2 came out, so it...
And
I could see them
Sony
doing the same.
Released Final Fantasy IX the same day the Dreamcast came out.
Mm-hmm.
Or 8 or 9 or some Final Fantasy game. Oh, and I'm an uncle now, too. My sister had her baby yesterday.
Oh, yes. Baby mama.
So, however, warning, anyone who calls me Uncle Ben will be executed, including my family, so watch out.
Okay, Uncle Ben.
I'm going to execute you after this podcast. Let's see. The new Xbox Experience. See how I put X and then Experience on the outline?
Oh, before you move on, you should talk about the new Rock Band guitar a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
you
I bought
did
it,
buy
didn't
that.
I?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was at Best Buy one day and doing my part as a consumer.
It was a rare moment of Ben spontaneously buying. It's kind of amazing.
And it's true. I don't usually do that, do I?
No, I was like shocked when you actually bought it.
I like to buy things, but it's usually very deliberate. You know? Yeah, anyway, I don't know why we were there. I think we're just being consumers. And Jones was there, and he's like, look, there's a new guitar. And I'm like, oh, hmm. And I'm like, I think I'll buy it. And I really like it. It's... I didn't even try it out. I mean, as soon as I got it home, though, I felt the switches and realized they're the same as before, and I took it apart, and I immediately put in cherry switches for the flipper because it had the same reed switches. But there's a lot less masking tape inside of it. It's a lot sturdier than the original guitar. It's really nice. I like it a lot. So it's got everything that was good about the original guitar and pretty much nothing that was bad. And the whammy bar has, like, a sturdy spring. It's got, like, a compression spring now instead of an expansion spring. Expansion spring is the kind, like, that's on a door. It's meant to, like, pull out. Compression spring is something that gets squished. So literally, the spring that was in the first Rock Band guitar, it literally was like a little spring from a pen. It was pathetic. And that was supposed to handle all the whammy barring. And I'm sure it was nothing, you know, I wouldn't really hold against Harmonix or EA or anything. It's probably just... You know, they sent the specs overseas, and they just used that and thought it would work, and it didn't. But, yeah, it's rectified now, and there's a sensor. There's two sensors. There's probably some sort of photodiode and a little microphone on the guitar, and you actually hold it up to the television, and they can calibrate your system automatically, which is good because Rock Band 2 took out the presets.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid. Yeah, they actually removed functionality from... what they had in Rock Band 1, which worked perfectly well.
Yeah, so instead of just clicking on CRT or DLP or whatever, at first glance, you think you have to, like, manually do the, you know, manually push the button to the screen things. If you look in the instruction manual, you can actually find, like, preset values you can enter, like, for a DLP, and that's what I did. And it was pretty good, and when I used the guitar, I fine-tuned it a little bit better, but, I mean...
But it's like, why take it out?
Yeah, that was so stupid.
Because, yeah, that we spent probably... 15-20 minutes, because of course we're guys, so we didn't look in the manual at first.
What's a manual?
And we spent like 15-20 minutes, you know, dicking around trying to get the calibration right. And it, you know, in the first game, all you did is went in and selected DLP and it was done. And I don't know, so that was pretty stupid.
It's probably some kind of issue where it's like, by saying this is a DLP setting and then it's not exactly perfect, that kind of puts the burden on them. By having you set it up, it kind of puts a burden on you.
Hmm.
And then, you know, like, even when you go in the book, it's like, well, here are the recommended settings. And
yeah,
they obviously knew that they were the best settings, but that was pretty lame, I had to admit.
Yeah.
Because even when we were doing it manually, we were having obvious synchronization problems. Because obviously we're regular gods of rock. But anyway, if you buy the guitar, which is slightly more money than you might expect, I think it was like $72 or something weird like that. But it's worth it. It syncs up great. And yeah, I like it.
Nice.
What else? The new Xbox Experience is coming. I guess that's cool.
Yeah, there was something I saw the other day that was kind of neat with that. Like, they said games and stuff, you'll be able to go into the dashboard and all that, and, like, you know, Rock Band 2, let's say you're, you know, considering buying it, you can just go out to Rock Band 2 and, like, everything that applies to that game will pop up, you know, like if it's themes, gamer picks, whatever, downloadable content. But then you can also look at the back of the package. So actually, just like you're in the store looking at the table to see that online now, which was kind of interesting, I thought.
I think it's good that, you know, if you're looking for like Rock Band tracks or something, you have to go into the store, go to games, go to downloads, scroll all the way down to Rock Band or whatever. That sucked, so I'm glad that's being changed.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure they got a lot of feedback.
Yeah, I think the thing is the way they had the dashboard and things like that originally, you know, it wasn't exactly suited to scale really well. You know, at first when they had, you know, 75 games or whatever, it wasn't a big deal. But then when DLC and stuff really started to take off, I think, you know, they kind of realized, well, we need to kind of go back to formula and change this up a bit to make it more scalable.
I've been really thinking about a new Ford, too, but probably not until the spring.
Hey, you could get that new one that's coming out where, you know, you can have the child safety controls on it. I was just reading about that today.
Oh, I saw that article. I didn't read it. What's it do?
Well, you can, like, limit how fast it can go. They have different keys or something, and so, you know, this key, it's kind of like a valet key almost or whatever. The car would only be able to go up to, you know, 65 miles an hour or whatever, and then I can't remember what the other crap was it would do. Can't remember if you could, like, disable the radio and crap like that or not, but...
You know, if they like to pass all these fascist smoking laws, and yeah, I did just say that. How about 18-year-olds being make that the new driving age? You'd have a lot less kids being killed, insurance would be cheaper, and there'd be that much less gas usage.
Well, I've said for years they should make the drinking age 16 and driving age 18.
We probably just pissed off a whole bunch of our listeners, but oh well.
Because it's stupid right now. You got, you know, kids come along and they learn how to drive, and then, oh, let's introduce alcohol into the mix later on. Where if you had where they could drink first and then drive, maybe they would learn how to handle alcohol first, and maybe drinking wouldn't be as cool either if it was just something you could legally do when you're 16 years old. So
that's a good point. I've heard younger people remark that they drink a lot less once they turn 21.
Yeah, so because it's like, oh, whoop-de-doo, I can do it any time now. And
so basically everything should be 18? I think that'd be fair.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah,
I mean, I've always thought it's dumb that you can go and die for your country, but you can't have a beer.
Yeah, I wonder if, you know, maybe they could do a trade-off, the same bill. Of course, it should be a state issue. It's like, driving age is 18, drinking age is 18. You know, give and take, both for the kids. The buses, the school buses run no matter what.
Yeah.
They're wasting the gas, kids aren't riding them, and kids are driving around in cars when they could be taking the school bus. And how much gas could be saved by that, for crying out loud?
Yeah, no, it's amazing when you drive to school over here in Verona, just how many freaking cars are sitting out there, you know, and it's like each kid drives their own car to school, you know?
Yeah.
It's like...
Or, like, what's that high school on the way over by that crappy intersection? You know, the just past Maze, not past Maze, just past Black Earth? You know, where everyone drives super fucking slow? What's that school?
Oh, what is that one?
It's got like three car lots worth of cars in front of it. It's just a little country school.
Yeah.
Or like Richmond Center is the same way. I always bring this up, but when we were in high school, we didn't even have a parking lot. You just parked your car wherever you could around the school, and it was fine. But now they have this huge parking lot, and it's chock full of cars every day.
Yeah.
It's like, and the town hasn't grown a bit.
Nope.
The only thing that's grown is the number of kids driving to school. Bullshit. I'm saying, you know, if we're going to have like the draconian laws and shit, you know, we might as well do some things that actually make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
And the parents be like, oh, blah, blah, drive my kids to school. There's buses for it.
Yeah.
It's not going to make your balls fall off. I mean, it's lame. But yeah, let them drink at 18. Why not? Once they turn 18, they can just go for it.
Hell yeah. Yeah, let them drink at 16. Fuck it.
Isn't that like in Germany?
Yeah, in Germany you can drink before you can drive.
Well, you can pump them. So. You can put all the chemicals you want in your kids as long as the doctor approves of it. So I guess why not?
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is probably a good time to announce the official BenHack.com presidential support or whatever.
None of the above.
Yes. Much like Sheryl Crow or Liv Tyler, I've officially announced my support, and it's for nobody. In fact, anybody that signed that $700 bailout bill, I'm going to vote against, just on principle.
I wish it would have only been a $700 bailout bill.
I said $700 billion, didn't I?
No.
$700 bailout bill?
I'm pretty sure that's what you said.
No. Oh, you hear they're talking about making it $900 billion now?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's so stupid. Last week, yeah, Wall Street dipped when they didn't do it, but then it recovered itself.
Yeah.
The market recovered itself. And then they passed it, and then the market took a nosedive.
Yeah.
So basically...
But it was like last week, what happened? You know, you had... I can't remember what bank it was, but there was some bank that was having troubles. So what happened? J.P. Morgan Chase came along and bought them up.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, that's how it should work. Like right now, Wachovia is having problems or whatever, and Wells Fargo is going to buy them up. You know, it's like, that's how it works. Let the market take care of itself. It's like, why should taxpayers who don't even own homes have to bail out all these dumb shits who went out and took out mortgages that they didn't understand what the hell they were getting themselves
into? It's financial socialism. There's no other way to put it.
It's complete horse shit is what it is.
And not only that, I mean... You've got dumb shits, and I don't care what the politicians... Well, the politicians won't blame Americans because they're getting voted for by Americans,
well,
you know?
Of course, yeah.
But it's true. I mean, okay, there's predatory lending, and yeah, sure, maybe they persuaded people to think they could afford homes they couldn't. But in the end of the day, it was the homeowner and the buyer that signed on the dotted line. See, predatory, you know, like predator, that's not really a good term to use. Let's say you're this little fish out in the ocean, you know? If a shark wants to eat you, you don't have a choice. You can't say no. That's a true predator.
Yeah.
These people could have said no.
Yep. It's true.
And they really have no one to blame for themselves, but of course the politicians are blaming bank CEOs and Wall Street, and we got to separate Wall Street from Main Street, except for when Wall Street's making Main Street money with all their 401k plans. Then we love greed.
Yeah.
We only hate greed when it doesn't work for us.
Yeah.
And that's why BenHack.com supports no candidate who's on the ticket, or that will actually win, I should say, because guess what? They both voted for the bill, so they both can go suck a dick.
That's right, where our wonderful state senator, Russ Feingold, being the god that he is, voted against it.
Yup.
Much like all of the other shitty bills that have come along over the past decade.
Is he up for re-election, or...?
Not till 2010, I don't think.
Oh, I was going to say I would go out and vote for him. I will in 2010. I'll make sure I do.
I'm writing him in. I'm going for the Russ Feingold, Ron Paul ticket myself, so...
Yep, the two people in their parties who know what's going on, but their parties hate them, so they'll never get anywhere.
And they actually believe in the Constitution and, you know, actually read the bills that come before them and, you know, vote accordingly, so...
It's so dumb, you know, allegedly Americans were all against the bailout until, you know, their portfolios took a hit last Monday. And then, like, the same week, they're all for it, and now it hasn't done a damn bit of good.
No. Then they threw tax breaks in there, too, like $100 billion worth of tax breaks. And it's like, how the fuck are we going to pay for this? We don't have this money anyways.
Oh, and $470 million in tax breaks for film productions that take place in America. That was in there, too. It's like a fucking pork roast.
Yeah. See, that's what I hate with shit like that, too, is it's like, yeah, maybe something like that almost would have merit, but it should not have been lumped into this bill. It should have been out on its own.
Well, that's how the Senate was able to pass it before the House of Representatives did. They tacked it on to a bill that the House had already passed in order to pass it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, how the hell does that work?
I love the fact, you know, the House is like, well... We're listening to, you know, the will of our people, which is what we're supposed to do. It's like bullshit. It's an election year. That's the only reason. This is a year ago. That thing would have passed on day one.
Well, it's the same reason earlier this year they set up Xbox in every home check. It's because it was an election year.
Mm-hmm. They're talking about another Xbox maybe home check.
It's like they've already admitted the one they did didn't work.
Well, just like
and
this,
it's like another one ain't gonna make a difference.
And you see the reports and saying, you know, people or you know representatives are worried that this is going to be the new Iraq War. Or it's funny that everyone always complains about the Iraq War vote, but no one ever like regrets the Patriot Act, even though it's far more unconstitutional.
Yes. And Feingold voted against that fucking thing. He was the only senator to vote against it when it first went through.
But anyway, I'm just saying, this is probably going to be the next one.
Yeah, well, that's good. Hopefully a bunch of these bastards burn for it, so... Unfortunately, the damage will already be done, but...
Really, they don't... They should, you know, re-elect no one. They talk about, like, change change. I mean, all that really...
There's change every day.
Do we spend and borrow or spend and tax? That's all that's ever going to change. And that basically means if the Republicans or the Democrats are in charge. Yeah. That's the only thing that's going to be any different.
Well, the thing I love about it is, you know, everybody was freaking out about the price per barrel of oil, and it's like, well, look, all this shit's going on. The price per barrel is down to like $88 now.
Yeah, but the price of the pump, it should be well under $3 now. Because I remember when it was $88, it was like last October.
Yeah, but they incrementalized the shit out of it, so they know that all they have to do is just, you know, slowly bring it down. Think, wow, this is a great deal.
Well, it's...
That's why I say it's bullshit that the oil companies aren't guilty of collusion, but nobody has the balls to take them on, so...
Well...
I don't agree with just, you know, willy-nilly taxing the shit out of them because of windfall profits, but...
That's bullshit. That's like taxing Microsoft for making more money than Apple.
Exactly. I don't agree with that, but somebody should be investigating the shit out of them for this crap, because it's obvious that... They're in cahoots and...
Yeah. Well, the dollar is weaker than it was a year ago, so yeah, maybe $88 barrel oil won't make the price of the pump as low as it was like last October, which was probably around $2.90 or $2.99, but it should. It should be close. That said, I do hope Barack Obama wins just because it will stir shit up.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things about him winning that I would like, you know, just for kind of our... credibility on the world stage or whatever you want to say, things like that. I think it could say some good things about our country, but I think he probably is a little more in touch with the younger demographic or younger generations in the country, which is a good thing, I think, because what we've had has been pretty out of touch lately, so...
And, you know, the future really belongs to the young people.
Hmm.
I mean... You know, some 70-year-old woman who, you know, likes John McCain because he's old. Well, you know, she's not going to be alive that much longer. That's kind of selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Young people are the future. That said, young people don't know everything, obviously.
No.
Oh, I was going to say one more thing. The intervention show.
Yeah.
You know, like the drug addicted kid comes home. And his mom's like, oh, your father, he's going to kill me if he sees you here. Well, here's $20. You know, every time he comes back and you give him $20, it doesn't solve the problem. He just goes out and gets more drugs. That's exactly what's going on with the stock market. You know, this happened like in the, you know, 1929. It's the same thing, like all the lending and whatnot, all the fake money. It's like just collapsed under itself. Now we have more like protections. Yeah. Although the FDIC, something like the FDIC has enough insurance to cover a small percentage of like all deposits or something.
Yeah.
So if there was catastrophic failure, it wouldn't be able to do anything. But yeah, they're not fixing the root problem, and so this is just going to happen again in, you know, 10 or 20 years.
Well, the thing,
and you know, God help whatever president or Congress is in power at that point.
Well, the thing is, you know, it's like they start with this crap, you know, then what happens? Let's say, you know, it like you're saying, it doesn't teach people to learn from their past behavior, because look at this, people are going to get bailed out, and so they're just going to go about doing whatever they did before. Maybe they'll go and buy some, you know, way overpriced car that they shouldn't have had, and then, you know, I mean, this is kind of the equivalent of, oh, I went and bought the super expensive car I can't afford, but oh, the government's going to take care of it, and I won't have to lose it back to the bank now. You know, they'll fix it all
up for me, and
it's just
stupid. The thing is, a lot of people are
still
losing their houses. Basically, they're just saving the banks.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, a bank, I mean, yeah, a person's credit rating obviously goes to the shitter, but the bank is the one who really loses on a mortgage.
Oh, yeah.
But they're the ones being bailed out. I mean, I would hope at least this will help keep people in their homes.
Yeah. But I don't know. One thing I always kind of liked what George Carlin had to say on it, he was like, on election day, I stay home because he's like, you know, people like to twist it around and say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. And he's like, well, I think that's pretty stupid. He's like, if you do vote, you're responsible for putting these people into office. You're at fault. You have no right to complain. And he's like, I, on the other hand, was sitting at home that day and did not leave my sofa, and I could complain as much as I want because I didn't vote these assholes in.
That's, I guess, a way of looking
and
at
I'm
it.
And I'm like, well, that's a, yeah, an interesting approach to it, but I'll probably go and vote and write in Russ and Ron and... I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway, it's symbolic.
Okay.
You can write candidates in.
It doesn't technically count, though.
I don't care.
Okay.
They have a write-in section on the ballot, I'm going to utilize it. I'm not one of those pussy straight ticket... I'm a big fan of eliminating those stupid checkboxes on the back straight ticket voting, because I think that's bullshit, but...
Yeah, it would cause people to have to think if they didn't do that.
Yeah, heaven forbid.
Okay, well, I guess we've said our piece about politics here. Well,
at least a small snapshot, anyway.
I guess it used to be if you wanted to buy something, you had to like save up the money.
Yeah.
Now you have like credit cards, which is like saving money in reverse.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to wait anymore. Remember that's what Dale says in our movie? Wait and watch.
Yeah.
When I'm president, people are gonna have to wait for everything.
Well, this just sets, you know, dangerous precedent, like we've talked about, because it's like, okay, this time they bailed out the banks for mortgages, but then what happens when they have to bail out the banks for credit cards and other crap down the road? You know, they're just setting very
credit
dangerous
cards are probably a lot
precedents.
Worse because, you know, at least a house is some big tangible thing you can sell.
Yeah.
But like, if you got, like, bags of groceries and iPods on a credit card, like, how do you
crap.
Really recover that?
Yeah.
You know, you can't evict someone from their iPod. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I just think this is the beginning of much worse things.
Sometimes I feel bad when I talk about things like this because I have a lot of neat stuff, but...
Yeah, but you've worked hard for it and you've, you know...
Yeah, that's
true. You're smart about how you spend your money and, you know...
Yeah.
You're entitled to get things if you want them, you know, it's...
Well, I don't... You know, sometimes, you know, my big thing is to say that the big problem with America is that kids want a better standard of living than their parents at half the age.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy for me to say that, but then, like, my parents don't have a 60-inch TV. It makes me feel a little ironic, but I don't know.
Well, but, yeah.
They only have, like, a 27-inch TV. Actually, I bought it for Christmas one year.
Nice.
But that wasn't... I don't know. It's okay. It's an okay TV.
Yeah, I'd agree. You know, people that are like 20 years old nowadays or, you know, early 20s, you know, they want to run out and buy a house right away and get a new car and, you know, have all, like, right when they get done with college or whatever, you know, they want to be able to just run right out and buy a house, buy a car, get married, start having kids, whatever, you know, and have everything that, you know, their parents didn't have until they were, like, in their, you know, mid-30s or whatever. And
Yeah.
So it's...
Well, one of my uncles, I think he's actually in the DNR, ironically enough. But, when he started out, you know, they had kids and they were all poor and they had to, like, have a crappy apartment and they had to work at it. Now they're successful, but,
yeah,
you know, that's...
Well, that's like my parents. Like, people think, you know, my family's rich or something, you know, because they had the car dealership in the family. But my parents, shit, they didn't even... buy cars or like nice cars or anything until God, probably about 10 years ago is when they started to buy like nice cars and stuff, like getting Cadillacs and things. And, you know, they were in their 50s by that time.
Your dad does have a nice car now.
Yeah, he does. My mom does too.
It's in our movie, so you'll get to see it.
Yeah, it's the car that I drive actually in it. So you see it briefly, but you know, once he was, you know, in his 50s, you know, it's like, well, I guess, you know, you're entitled. You want to go out and buy a nice car. And like he said to me one time, you know, it's like, well, you know, I'm spending your inheritance. And I'm like, well, I don't really give a shit. I'm like, you worked for that. If you want a nice new car or, you know, buy a gazebo or whatever the hell you want to do, you know, do it.
Oh, shit. We should probably move on. I know politics is fun since we never talk about it, but.
Well, we'll moveon.org.
But yes, anyway, I guess everyone should vote, but yeah, I don't have faith in any of them right now because...
I say only vote if you feel strongly enough about it to do so. Don't just vote for the sake of voting.
Yeah, and don't let me or Alanis Morissette or anyone else tell you what to do. You should decide for yourself.
Exactly.
Because, yeah.
Because it's your country, so...
I mean, I am not going to come over and give you any money or... You know, Kate Winslet's not going to come give you a blowjob. You know, people that you hear on television...
She's not?
No.
Well, she is married to Sam Mendes, so I guess that wouldn't be right.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
I saw, like, she's in some new movie where she also has a hard time keeping her clothes on.
Is it the one with DiCaprio? Because they're in a new movie together.
No. What, Titanic 2?
Yeah, pretty much. I think Sam Mendes is directing it also, but...
That was a beautiful American Beauty guy, right?
Yep, and Road to Perdition.
Oh, that was a pretty good movie with the late, great Paul Newman in it.
Yes.
That was sad.
Yeah, that sucked. This has been a rough year for cool, like, celebrities dying.
Yeah, I went out and bought some salad dressing after Paul Newman died.
There was a lot of store. It seemed like it was, like, I mean, I guess I've never really paid attention to how much, you know, Paul Newman salad dressing sells, but it was, like, mowed down pretty good compared to the rest of the stuff. Maybe people went out in honor of him and made salad and then went home and watched Butch and Sundance or something.
It was pretty good. Salad dressing. Yeah, well, Butch and Sundance is good,
and
too.
All the proceeds from all of his different foods and stuff like go to charity, I guess, which is pretty cool.
Okay. Well, let's move on to our actual topics. Well, I'm surprised we only wasted 35 minutes with that.
Wow.
Okay, our first topic is Apple versus Microsoft. Let's just piss off some more people today, why don't we?
Apple and Microsoft. Well, let's see, you have an iPod.
I do.
And I have a Zune now.
Let us do battle. I am the robot Anna from the planet England. Oh, that was from Family Guy. Sorry. Okay, well, one day I plugged in my iPod, you know, after listening to 20 straight Bob Dylan albums and, you know, visiting MoveOn.org, and I noticed to update the firmware. I noticed that if I wanted to update the firmware to version 2.0, it was going to cost me $10.
Lame.
And I thought, wow, if Microsoft charged people to update the firmware of their Xbox or their Zune, charge them $10 to do that, people would... As I like to say, they would have the pitchforks and torches out and be marching on Redmond.
Oh, yeah.
Now someone's going to say, oh, Vista is a forced upgrade. It's been seven freaking years since XP came out.
How is Vista a forced upgrade?
I'm just saying this is what people would say.
Well, it's like I say Vista is going to be the same way. You give Vista a few years, and when Microsoft starts talking about their next OS, people will be like, oh, but Vista's so great, I'm going to stick with that for a number of years now, just
right.
Like they're saying with XP now. Which XP is a great operating system, I think, but...
Yeah, it is, but, I mean, my comment I made the other day was, like, a lot of people wouldn't even drive a seven-year-old car around. And it's basically just Windows 2000 with fancier graphics.
Yeah. They added some things to it, but essentially...
Right, but then Apple, you know, even with their OSs, they have these incremental upgrades.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Yeah, that's what I love. It's like, yeah, also like in the Apple world, if, you know, you had something like Service Pack 1 or 2 or whatever come out for your operating system like it does for Microsoft, you'd get to pay for that. Because when they do their, like, versioning on their OS, at least maybe they don't anymore. I have to admit I'm not up on this stuff, but I know back in the day when they had, like, what was it, OS 9 and all that, when it had to go to, like, 9.1, you had to pay to go up to 9.1.
You mean you just couldn't download a service pack?
No. But, like, with XP, when they brought out Service Pack 2 and, you know, added some features and functionality and things, it was just free, you know?
You know, I was just thinking, we still have podcast listeners, and we're just ripping on more and more things all the time. Like,
good.
We just ripped on, like, the entire political system and both candidates. I mean, so who's going to listen to us now, like the Ron Paul and Ralph Nader groups or what?
Hey, at least we're equal on that. Rip on it all, so people can't, you know, accuse us of favoritism or anything, so.
Well, I think it's better to just say they're all full of bullshit than to blindly file someone because of change or being a maverick or whatever goddamn tag words. Like, God,
the
a drinking game.
The Sarah Palin drinking game, yeah.
Let's see, what was it? Kitchen table, Maverick.
Joe Sixpack.
That was awesome.
Oh, God. When she said that, I about died. I was like, she actually said that during a vice presidential debate.
Joe Sixpack.
Wow. Oh. I don't know who she thinks she's connecting with, but
Joe
whatever.
Sixpack.
Well, I guess.
Actually, I guess there's another term for that. It's called Bubba.
I like Joe Sixpack better.
Apparently, Bubba's like actually a marketing term. Like the person who goes into the gas station every day and buys two packs of cigarettes is a Bubba. So like Mike Adsit is a Bubba. Because he buys 10 packs of cigarettes every day. I say that because he's not listening.
Who's the guy that goes into a PDQ every day and gets a, you know, a cup of coffee?
There's probably also a Bubba.
Okay. Just somebody who has deeply ingrained habits that spur the economy or something?
I think so. But I think it more applies to cigarettes.
Must be addiction related.
Risk addiction?
Ugh.
Okay, here's one. iTunes. Not only does it try to update itself every 5 minutes, but it's really slow, really buggy, and the DRM-free songs cost more.
Lame.
So...
where you could just go to Amazon and, you know, download DRM-free songs for 99 cents a piece.
And apparently the allure of Mac is that it's easy to use.
I don't get that. I've never found Windows to be difficult to use, and I know...
Mac is really no different.
Yeah. They did add a second mouse button on the, you know, PCs, you know, which I see how that can be difficult for some people, you know, that use Apple, so...
Wow. You just said that.
Hey, somebody had to. But, you know what was great, too? I got my Zune... you know, they're a week and a half ago from the Club Live thing. Got my nice free Zune. It showed up.
Oh, there's something. I'm sorry to interrupt, but at first Microsoft wasn't honoring all that, but then they did.
Yep. Yeah, so I got like Vista Ultimate and a Zune and some other stuff.
Think of it as a windfall profits tax.
Yeah.
They gave you a free crap.
Maybe that's for all of my, you know, Microsoft love over the years. But it was really great, though. I, you know, hooked it up. I had Zune software on my laptop, and it just started, like, syncing. Or actually, first it was like, oh, I need an update to my firmware. And I'm like, oh, okay, fine. Guess what? It came down for free and installed itself, and away it went. And then once it was all up to date, it was like, oh, okay, give me a name. I gave it a name, and then it just started syncing everything. And it just worked, and I didn't have to pay, you know, $10 or anything to get that firmware upgrade or anything like that. It, you know...
the one on the iPod, you can get, like, the version 1.987, but yeah, to get to the full upgrade to, like, 2.0 costs you money.
Lame.
And I thought about it, because I think that's the only way to make apps work correctly or something, but it's just stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I like my iPod Touch. It's really cool. Where is it anyway? Oh, right, it's downstairs. But that's lame.
Well, that's why Apple needs to... somebody, you know, I mean, I admit the Zune obviously hasn't exactly made inroads into the MP3. Somebody out there has to put a dent into Apple's dominance in that market, because right now Apple realizes that they control the market pretty much, and so they can do whatever they want, you know, which of course Microsoft controls the market in other areas, but at least they don't, you know, charge you bullshit fees to upgrade your software or firmware or whatever, like that Xbox experience thing coming out. They could charge, you know, $10 a piece to download.
If it was
that,
an Apple console, they
but
would.
But they're not. It's just free. You just get it. You know?
Well, Microsoft, you said there was some guy where he bought a used hard drive off of a website. And
oh, yeah.
He contacted Microsoft and they sent him a free transfer cable.
Yeah, one of the guys from your site in the forums, he's on my friends list, and he was just asking me about buying a used 120-gig hard drive and stuff, and it was a pretty good deal. And then he messaged me back later in the day and was like, yeah, I went and bought it, and, yep, contacted Microsoft on a free transfer cable, even though he'd, you know, bought a used hard drive from, like, GameStop. But they were just going to send him the cable for free so he could transfer his data. But, you know, Microsoft's the big evil company out there that, you know, hates their consumers, apparently, if you'd believe the... hippie media press or whatever, so.
Well, I don't feel bad about some things I've said in this podcast since you just said hippie media press.
Good. But it's, and I know I probably come off as more too much of a Microsoft fanboy, but it's like, I don't know, I'd just get annoyed with all of the Microsoft hate, so I almost feel like I have to, like, counter all of that bullshit with maybe going a little too far the other way. I mean, I know Microsoft isn't a perfect company by any means, but I think they get the short end of the stick an awful
lot.
Well, a lot
of it is really irrational.
Yeah.
Oh, here's one I love. The graphic arts misconception.
Oh, yes.
If you want to do graphic arts, you must have a Mac. There's only one reason that happens. It's because in graphic arts schools, they use Macs. Therefore, the students are brainwashed, basically, into thinking Macs are the only way to do it. And you know what? You can send me hate mail or comment about that, but I don't care. It's absolutely true. So whatever.
Yeah, last time I checked, the entire Adobe suite worked just fine on your PC. You got your running Vista.
You know what's really weird, too? My PC is more powerful, yet cheaper than a Mac of the same cost.
What?
Isn't that hard to believe? I mean, you know, I mean, what I could do, I could, again, I will preface this by saying I build very expensive mods for people, so I really can't rip on, of course, I'm not a mass market thing like Apple. It's like, you know, you could go to Best Buy, because I recently bought a new laptop, which wasn't a Mac. You can buy like a $700 Core 2 Duo Dell laptop or whatever. The equivalent in a Mac would be close to $2,000, or at least twice as much, like $1,500.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, are you kidding me? Then I see this ad, they've got that fat guy and Justin Long, and it's like, Macs are now the number one laptop on college campuses. And I'm thinking, what? And even if that is true, these kids, you know, they should be spending less money on stupid computers they don't need. And no wonder we have, like, loan crisis.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, guess what? You should be eating Ramen noodles, driving around a 1983 Chevy Chevette with, like, springs sticking to the seat.
Yeah.
Die.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of my big beefs with Apple. I probably wouldn't have as much of a problem with them if their, like, hardware was competitively priced, but it's just, like, completely ridiculous. Yeah, the iPods are fine. I don't have a big problem with the iPods.
And even the iPhone now.
Yeah.
But that's what they're good for. They make good toys.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, with their laptops and stuff, it's just absurd. I mean, why MacBook? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me at all unless you just have to be somebody who has, you know, the in status symbol type shit.
Well, they probably see in all the movies everyone uses a Mac.
Yeah.
Except for an Iron Man, I noticed he had both Dell and Macintosh monitors. Apparently he was agnostic.
Well, that's good.
But most
Well, he could afford an Apple.
That's true. But I guess movies have always been like that. Actually, do you remember the brief period in the 1990s where, like, every computer in a movie was a Silicon Graphics for whatever reason? Like, Jerry Maguire, he had a Silicon Graphics computer for whatever reason.
Yeah, every now and then, now you see, like, Dells pop up in movies. It's not a complete Apple monopoly, but it's pretty close. Like, I know in The Office, like, when Pam went off to art school and stuff, I think they're using Apples, of course.
Well, of course she was.
Of course, she's in a, you know, graphic design, you know.
They
have a big gate, you know, going into the campus, and no Microsoft products shall pass.
The only way I could get Photoshop to run on my computer was to run Apple software in what do you call it, VirtualWare, VMware? That was the only way to get it to work.
Obviously.
The only time that was relevant, I think there was a time when, like, stuff like Photoshop was only available on Apple. It was, like, probably, like, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, was that 15 years ago?
Yeah, it wasn't even originally on Apple. I'm pretty sure it was on Steve Jobs' next computer. I don't know if you recall what that was. Someone could correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure Photoshop was not on Apple originally. It was probably on some high-end computer in, like, the late 1980s.
Damn. Adobe's been around a long time.
Oh, it's just so dumb. Yeah. Oh, what about the viruses argument? There are no viruses on Macs. Guess what? It's because virus writers write things that will, you know,
hit the biggest area, have the best chance at success, you know, by hitting the largest attack area, which would be Windows machines, of course. It's just like if Apples were the dominant thing in the market, Apples would get way more viruses than Windows machines. It's just common fucking sense. I love it when Because it was like a couple of years ago, there was this guy in the marketing department. Of course, he was a big Apple advocate and stuff. And he was like, oh, we should get Macs in our department. And I was like, hell no. You know, you're not going to get any support, whatever. And he'd be like, well, they never get viruses. Then it was like 2 weeks later, I read online about how there was this Mac virus flying around. And I was like, oh, what about this? Just shut him right the hell up. Because basically it was all these Mac people had been cocking off about it, so this virus writer was like, okay, fine, screw you people, and went out and wrote a Mac virus just to show them we can do it if we want
yeah,
to.
I think people seem to think that viruses are, you know, natural and organic, kind of like they are in biological organisms like us. So, like, the Mac is like some sort of, like, super immunized person who'll never get sick. They don't realize it's like, you know, some geek. I don't know who exactly these virus writers are. I mean, it would be interesting to meet one sometime.
Yeah.
And then kick their ass. But it's some fat geek sitting in a basement, and he or she, but probably he, decides, I'm going to write a virus to fuck up PCs. Because, you know, you want to fuck up the most computers you can, so would you write it for Mac?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and if you're trying to steal, you know, financial information from people and stuff, well, obviously, you know, the most people out there use Windows machines, so, you know, if you want to steal people's financial information, it would probably make the most sense to write something to go after Windows machines. So.
Yes, if you want to steal some graphic arts page layouts, then yes, definitely write a virus for Mac.
Nice. Yeah, it's... I mean, that's probably one of my biggest things. I mean, I've just worked with computers for a number of years, so, you know, you hear these people coming along, Mac, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you just get so fed up with the bullshit. Because if you actually work in the industry, you know Windows really isn't that bad. I mean, it's like, yes, there's other things that are, you know, maybe a bit more secure, like to run as a server and things. Like, if you want to lock down a Linux box and just have that be your web machine, yeah, it won't take as many resources and maybe secure, but it's really negligible, to be quite honest, and it's just, it gets so old after a while.
Here's a question.
Bullshit.
Which pisses you off more, Mac people or Linux people?
God, that's a tough question, actually.
Maybe...
Because I really get tired of hearing about how fantastic Linux is, too, because it's like, yeah, try putting that in Joe Sixpack, to use Sarah Palin terminology. Go put it in Joe Sixpack's hands and see how he does with it.
Like, what's a command line? I don't know what a command line is. That sounds like Al-Qaeda speak.
Like, there was a great thing today. I was talking to this dude at work today, and he even made the comment, and he's an advocate for open source, but he even made the comment that this is why open source will not be adopted by businesses.
But what about Ubuntu? It's the future!
And it was, there was this application, it was called FileZilla. It's like an FTP client, open source, really great, whatever. But apparently, somewhere along the way, the guy who writes this thing decided, oh, well, this is a big security hole that just everybody should block or take care of on their FTP server. So I'm just going to write my software where if you don't have that taken care of, it basically just won't work for what you need it to do. And just distributed it. And of course, it pissed off a whole shitload of people. But when you're dealing with FTP stuff, it's like, well, I might have my FTP server locked down, but I have to get to this bank's FTP server, and they might not have theirs locked down. And so now all of a sudden you've broken my process, where it's like a commercial vendor's software would never do something like that. And he even made the comment today, it was so great when he said it, because I was like, wow, it's music to my ears, because he's like, this is why it will never be adopted in the business world, and it's what I've been saying for years. It's like there's no rigid standards in the open source world. You can always have cowboys out there, you know, doing whatever the hell they want and making up their own rules as they go. You know, where, you know, when you get Windows, it's Windows.
Something else. I know they do sell computers that have, like, Ubuntu or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get them from Dell now with Linux on them if you want.
But, like, what is the cost of Windows license in a computer? Like, $75
or something? Oh, it's negligible.
So
yeah.
If you're already buying, like, a, you know, a computer that's several hundred dollars, $75 to have an operating system you know, or, oh, I can save $75 and not be able to run anything.
Yeah, it's...
Ugh. Ugh.
I mean, I'm all for competition and everything, but it's like, yeah, if any of that Linux shit ever really wants to get anywhere, they've got
to... If it wants to be competition.
Yeah, it has to, you know, standardize and actually...
And become like Windows.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure all the Linux fanboys out there are, you know, probably clawing their eyes out, but it's the truth, you know?
Look at it, it has a GUI and all this, and yeah, it tries to become Windows-like, and that's how it would get accepted.
Linux, you know, in the business world, which I've argued many times on this podcast, is where it really matters when it comes to OSs, because what people use in the workplace is what they will use at home, and in the workplace, Windows is king, and about the only places where Linux is really useful is kind of in the server side, where the IT department can control it and, you know, determine how best to utilize it. Like, we used it as, like, our spam filter program at work. We had Exchange for our email system, but we had the email routed in through a Linux box, and it had Spam Assassin running on it, so it would, you know, filter off all of the spam email before it even hit Exchange and things like that. But we wouldn't have actually run our email server as sendmail or anything like that. But... You know, I just can't see anytime soon having Linux desktops in the business world on a widespread scale. I mean, there's some places out there that do it, but it's...
Well, isn't Linux like all over the map with its distros or bistros or whatever they call it?
Well, that's my big problem with it is you have, you know, you got Ubuntu, you've got Red Hat... You know, there's all these different flavors of it floating around out there, and that's, you know, the other issue. You know, Joe Sixpack goes somewhere, you know, they go into work or whatever, they use Windows there, they go to the store.
Nuclear!
Yeah. They know they have to get Windows, where, you know, Linux, like, oh, okay, I get to go out to some website, which means I have to have a computer in the first place to go out and get it. I mean, I know you can go in the store and buy some of the distros, but, you know, for a line, you know, you go flying out on the internet somewhere and you have to download it, then you got to burn it onto some CDs or DVDs or whatever, and then finally you can load it up. You know, it's a bunch of bullshit. It's just, I don't know. I mean, it's something that, yeah, techie geek people, yeah, it's great, whatever. They're willing to put up with that. Most people aren't. They just want something that works. And
what's the term I read once? Linux is only free if your time is
worth
nothing.
Yeah, that's very true. Even people I know that are very into Linux and things like that would even admit that.
Remember that one time Dave kept trying to install Linux on his
laptop? Yeah, I think he said he's tried doing it 5 or 6 times, and, you know. And then guess what? He put XP on it, and it just worked. What a shock.
XP, the best operating system ever. All right, well, I guess we really didn't get to our laptops versus desktops argument because we probably spent too long on the bailout thing.
That's all right. Laptops and desktops both have their place.
Yes.
You know, we could just go a little longer. It's been like a month.
Oh, let's turn this into the Fistful podcast?
Sure. I mean, we don't have to go like an hour and a half, but we could go a little longer.
Well, okay. So I guess
since we've been, you know, kind of not on the stick lately with these things.
This gig ain't on the stick, Big Daddy.
Hey, Biden actually said I'm on the bait the other night, too. That was awesome.
They're obviously stealing all our stuff.
They must have went out to that same 50s lingo site we went to.
Yeah, because in the beginning of Possess Woman, this guy says, "This gig ain't on the stick, Big Daddy." He must have obviously... You know what he probably did? He probably hacked my hard drive.
Well, he actually running Windows.
Yeah, exactly. So,
crazed.
You know, he was able to do it.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, wow, look at all these great terms. Then, like, you know, Sarah Palin was on another port looking at my terms. And she was like, oh, Joe Sixpack.
Well, she probably downloaded the podcast, you know, because she's, you know, salt of the earth woman and all that. So, you know, she listens
to
the
podcast. Well, it's all that foreign policy experience because she lives next to Russia or something. You know, Detroit could say that about Canada.
So it's like Brad, you know, who's in our new movie here for a little bit. He's probably got as much foreign policy experience as Sarah Palin, because, I mean, shit, he's been to Japan a bunch of times, and England. Hell, he's got more than her, probably, because he's been, like, different places in Europe. Shit, he should be running for VP. I should call him up. Tell him to get on the ticket. McCain could use him.
Brad would obviously be the best vice president ever.
I'd vote for him.
Brad for president. Yes, Brad's the one who hooked us up with driving a vehicle through a wall of flames.
Well, as people who know how to handle weapons and whatnot, so...
Gun control is hitting your target. Apostasis Man, no one seems to believe me, but I really think I can have it done by Halloween.
Yep. Well, it's basically done now, except for the sound pass, right?
Yeah, and I got that up to about... the movie is... Right now, it is 68.75 minutes long before the credits, so I've got about 19 minutes of it, 5.1 sound, the sound done. But we had to do some looping and stuff and do some more sound effects, but I think we're going to do that next weekend. But yeah, so I've got 3 weekends, and then I'll just make WMV or whatever. We're going to have a showing around Richmond Center and then probably one in the Madison area maybe, but... There'll be a web version available on Halloween, no matter what. Probably a WMV HD, and probably a couple iPod versions.
I could put it on my Zune.
I could put it in my iPod.
Right.
Hi, I'm a Mac. I'm a PC, and I've got this iPod Zune thing. Well, you're kind of I noticed you like to use your laptop a lot.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. Just because it's simple. I can pick it up and move it around and keep everything in one place that way. I don't know. I'd probably use my desktop a bit, but I don't have it hooked up to the interwebs right now, so that kind of makes it a bit more useless. I think I'd mainly use a PC now for just if I wanted to do some gaming or something on it, but just for general purpose, surfing the web and things like that, I like the laptop. So I don't really have strong feelings one way or the other.
But haven't you ever noticed on television that desktops are for men?
They are?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
I don't think I had a sex change operation.
You look at any advertisement... There's a woman sitting on the floor, cross-legged in some sort of yoga position, eating an apple and then using a laptop.
Is she using an apple?
No, not usually, but...
Oh, okay.
You've never noticed that with advertising?
Maybe.
What?
Maybe.
I think it's pretty true.
I guess
online college is so cool, and then they get this chick who's in her pajamas sitting on the floor using a laptop. I don't know. They're always sitting on the fucking floor. I don't know why. If the only people that can use desktops in commercials are guys in their late 30s or early 40s who are buying stocks. It's you can manage your stocks, blah, blah, blah.
Go
You're
to
not sitting...
E-Trade or whatever the hell.
Well, what about Sam Watterson? You remember he's in that T.D. Waterhouse?
Oh, yeah.
He's I'm that guy on Law & Order.
Screw that guy.
But he was also in your favorite movie, Heaven's Gate.
Which I've never seen. That's Dale's favorite movie.
It's not very good.
I'm sure it's no Baby Mama.
Baby Mama.
Starring Sarah Palin. Oh, wait, Tina Fey.
Well, I think we should ask Tina Fey how she feels.
I bet she'd like a laptop, and Biden probably uses a desktop if commercials tell us anything. So
he's well, I've got to trade my stocks. Apparently he talks someone from Montana now.
Apparently.
I like my desktop better than anything.
What about your tablet laptop thing you have now?
My tablet laptop thing is pretty cool, but it is not as cool as my big computer.
But you can storyboard on it and stuff.
Well, when we do another movie, yes. Well, when I was looking at laptops, I bought not only because it was a tablet, but because it was the smallest laptop I could possibly find. Because in my thinking, I don't see it as a desktop replacement. So I want it to be as laptop-y, new word, as possible.
Well, there you go.
Small.
Little.
Well, my last laptop weighed 9 metric tons. I just got sick of it.
So you can do, like, mobile sound recording and stuff with your laptop.
Actually, I did some today. I was eating some beef stew, and I'm like, you know what? This beef stew makes an interesting sound when it comes out of the can. I'm going to record that.
There you go.
I did.
Nice.
Although it's kind of weird. I was using that shotgun mic, and actually, strangely enough, the USB headset gives better results. I noticed on my last laptop, too, if you use the analog microphone input jack, it's not all that great. Because do you remember when we were doing some of the last looping for Port Washington? I had my laptop at that point, but I still used the MGD computer because it actually had a better sound recorder.
That's right.
Even than my modern laptop.
Yeah.
So, fun fact.
The good old MGD computer. It didn't work for this film, but that's okay.
Well, let's see. You can use a laptop on the toilet. That's cool. I will admit freely and openly that I wrote part of my book while sitting on the toilet taking a dump.
And you can use a laptop on an airplane.
Yes. However, they should make it. Think about this. Like, you know, instead of the screen opening away from you, what if it kind of opened and, like, rotated so you could put your hands under the screen and the keyboard, and the screen could kind of be closer to your face? That way, you know, unless you're, like, flying in, like, Fergie class, when the person in front of you folds their seat back, you could still use it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That would be nice.
So apparently some airplanes are going to get Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I'm sure it's going to cost, like, $20 an hour. I mean, stupid.
Ugh. Lame. Yeah, considering you can't even get a pillow now without having to pay for it or whatever the hell it is.
Hey, so gas prices have gone through the floor. You'd think some of that stuff would come back.
Yeah, I know, but it's just kind of funny. You know, you can't even get a cup of water now on some flights without paying, and it's like, for Christ's sakes.
But gas has lost, like, 40% of its cost. I mean, you'd think that would, like, you probably won't stop airlines who have already done it because they'll just expect the prices to go up next summer, but maybe it'll slow the spread of the lack of service.
Well, it's just incrementalism again, so.
Well, most airplanes, you don't even get a full can of Pepsi. Well, I would say it's about 50-50.
Half and
50,
half.
Yeah.
Because I know when I flew earlier this year, I was shocked when they actually gave me a full can of soda.
Did you say, thank you, kind sir?
I think I did. Well, I said, thank you, kind madam. But, yeah. Wonderful stewardess handing out full sodas. So, what is it with that? How's that supposed to work? Isn't it Wisconsin?
You should say pop, because you're from Wisconsin.
Because I'm from Wisconsin. But yeah, I've always
Minnesota
called it soda.
Minnesota is soda, because of Minnesota.
And isn't it like here? Isn't it like here? It's supposed to be bubbler instead of water fountain too. But I've always said water fountain.
Yeah, I think it's fountain too. Bubbler is like a southern thing.
Oh, bubbler southern. Okay.
It's like, well, son, you better go get that bubbler there if you want to be Joe Sixpack and the nuclear bombs.
And, you know, bubble it up and go get some smokes.
Hey, gotta get your Pall Malls in. Shit.
Hey, my dad used to smoke Pall Mall when I was younger, like 20 years ago.
Oh. You remember the other day when we were playing Mega Man?
Oh, yeah, when you guys were rocking that thing or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if Jones and I are roommates now, along with Dave. I don't know if people realize that. That's why we all have all these stories that seem to coincide. Anyway, remember we saw they had the guy named Tornado Man?
Oh, yeah.
And someone made the comment, like, how do we stop Tornado Man? And I'm like, well, I don't know, but Tornado Man could stop Trailer House Man. That's when I came up with the idea for our contest.
Well, here it is. Maybe you should lay out the contest.
Well, okay. Well, the contest is, it's going to be on the side as well, but come up with the lamest Mega Man evil robot you can. And then, like, for extra points, do a pixelated drawing of it. But you have to do a drawing of it no matter what. So do a drawing of the robot, you know, like something really lame, like I came up with Congressman, and he would shoot borrowed money at you. Then every shot in succession gets less and less powerful because of the weakening dollar. And then one that you'd appreciate, I came up with Leslie Man.
What should you do, fire Judd Apatow's at you or something?
I'm not sure what Leslie Man would do, but you could definitely have someone named Leslie Man. Or Michael Mann.
Yes. That would be cool.
But yeah, so I have some of those guitars left over from when I did that guitar thing, so I thought I might as well just give a couple away since I didn't pay anything for them. But they have BenHeck.com logos on them, so.
And he's got PS3 and Xbox 360.
Yeah, so whichever one you need. It's the Guitar Hero 3 wireless controller. Yeah. But yeah, the top two lamest, best Mega Man villain robots will win a guitar, and I'll ship it to you. And a good drawing for bonus points, a pixelated drawing that looks like it's from the video game. Then we have to know what the robot's attack power is, and for more bonus points, what beats him, you know. Yeah.
Nice.
Like, maybe if you had, like, a veto man, he could fight Congressman.
Yes, with a pen.
You got pen shot. Well, I think Mega Man 9 is cool. It's hard as hell, but I like it.
Well, that's good.
Yes. Hey, they had a lot of balls making a game like that.
Oh, it's cool they made it. I just thought it was kind of dumb in some ways. It's like it is 2008, but...
Yeah, okay, well, here's something for you.
Yeah, I want to hear your, you know, bullshit way you're going to try to get me to think, oh...
I have got just the
I
way
agree
to
with you.
See, I'd heard that there are Mega Man 9 haters out there, and I'm like... Would I know one if I saw one? Then I found out, my God, my friend Jones is one. He's actually a pod person. But no, anyway. Like, look at what we did. We had a really high-tech camera. We had all this fancy shit and all this software and all these computers. And what movie did we make? We made Posthumous Man 2.
And it's awesome. Yeah, but we still made it in high def. It's not like we went and said, oh, we've got this hot, sexy camera, but we're going to make it in standard def.
Well, that would have been just stupid.
But that's basically what they did. They're like, oh, we got this hot, sexy Xbox 360 and PS3. Let's make a Nintendo game on it, or for it, you know?
But that's why it was so cool.
Yeah.
Well, I tried that Bionic Commando Rearmed, and I just couldn't get into that at all.
I mean, I think the Mega Man thing was cool, but I was like, they could have made it fit the screen, you know, on a widescreen television.
But then it wouldn't have been accurate.
And then, like, the crap where it still flickers and,
that's
like,
awesome.
The sound cuts out and stuff. It's like...
You don't think that's awesome?
No, I really don't. Like, it's 2008. It's not like it's, you know, the early 90s. You know, it's okay to, you know, improve things. But I was never a huge Mega Man fan anyways. I mean, I liked Mega Man 2 a lot, but my feeling is if you've played one, you've played them all pretty much.
Yeah.
So I just can't really get that geeked up about it.
Okay, well, I think we probably babbled enough for one podcast. We haven't gone Fistful of Reviews over. Yeah. I had to give Jones and Dale crap because whenever they do a podcast, it's like usually 9 hours long.
That's right.
Like the War and Peace podcast.
You know you got to be in for the long haul when you listen to those. So,
but yeah, feel free to enter our contest. And yes. And if anyone wants to pay us $700 billion to make Posthumous Man 3, my email's over on the right, so...
Well, shit, if we had that kind of money, we probably could actually make Alien Hunter.
Well, we could make...
We could make, like,
we could make
everything.
Pretty much anything. We could make, like, Titanic-Ishtargate.
Nice.
Yes. Here's a plot for Titanic-Ishtargate. A pair of out-of-work actors visit a western town, and they get there on a big boat.
Yep.
And then Gold. Sam Watterson has a death list.
Jesus.
Yeah, so what happens in Heaven's Gate is Sam Watterson shows up, and I think he's like a district attorney, just like he is in Law & Order, except for he's younger. And he's like, I hold here in my hand a death list. And they want to kill a bunch of like immigrants or something.
Isn't Kris Kristofferson in
it? Yeah, he's like the hero.
Nice. What's Walken in it then? Isn't he in that?
Yeah, he's kind of a... I don't know exactly what he does. He's like some guy who runs around killing people.
He's an anti-hero?
It's kind of hard to follow. It has, like, the first 20 minutes of it is this big dance at Harvard, which has nothing to do with the main movie. It takes place 20 years before the main action.
Oh, so it's kind of like Deer Hunter.
Yeah, it's, I guess...
Same director,
masturbationally overindulgent would be a good way of putting it.
probably why I haven't seen it. I'd rather watch Baby Mama.
In a world where Tina Fey can't have a baby.
But Amy Poehler can.
And Don LaFontaine is dead.
Shit.
Someone called me out for not mentioning that he died. Sorry. Well, everybody's dying.
Yeah, I got Chuck Heston.
Stan Winston.
Heath Ledger.
Oh, screw him.
He was cool, though.
You know, if Robert Downey Jr. would have died just before Iron Man when it came out, it would have made like $1 billion as well.
That's fine.
I know, it's just, I don't know. Just think when like the next Batman movie comes out and doesn't do nearly as much, you're like, what happened?
Well, that's what I said. It's like the next one will make like $300 million and they'll consider it a disappointment.
Of course. Of course, they'll probably spend like $300 million on it.
Yeah, they'll probably spend that much, but...
Oh, if they have Angelina Jolie as Catwoman, I think I'll move to Australia.
Telling you, Charlize.
Oh, I agree. She'd be good.
Charlize is my pick, but the logical choice is Scarlett Johansson.
Just it's not logical, but
well, the,
likely.
The Hollywood, yeah, the Hollywood logic at work would say Scarlett Johansson.
I think Scarlett Johansson strikes me as being about 3 feet tall. I don't
pretty
know.
Hot,
I'm sure
though.
Michelle Pfeiffer was pretty short, too, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think Charlize fits the bill. It's like she's got all, you know, they keep getting these, you know, decorated actors for these movies, which mm-hmm. she fits the bill. She's been, you know, one best actress, been nominated.
She's about the
that.
Same age as Christian Bale.
Yeah.
So well, so is Angelina Jolie, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I guess she's won an Oscar, too. People forget that, but...
She's in too many movies. But, it just wouldn't work.
Yeah, well, I think she brings too much star power, almost.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like, you know, this big, larger-than-life celebrity, where, like, Charlize Theron, people know who she is, but she would, like, blend into the cast better, and I just think she'd be way better casting anyways. I mean, she's a better actress.
Yeah.
And she's hot, and, you know, whatever else, so whatever. It all
okay,
fits.
Here's a question. Like, do you think Tom Cruise could have been Iron Man because he wanted to be for a long time?
I think he could do it.
I think that would have been a great role for him because, you know, he's played that kind of character a lot of times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just the, you know, kind of egotistical prick. Usually, you know, he has to find his, you know, good side at some point in his movies. But, yeah, if you look back through his career, a lot of his roles are kind of that sort of character, so... Yeah, I definitely think he could have pulled it
cocktails.
Off. I think he's one of the more underrated actors out there, personally, so I think people don't give him enough credit.
Yeah, him, so. Like I said before, him and Britney Spears need to go kick some ass.
There you go.
You know, he should go up to, you know, Jessica Alba and be like, hi! How many $100 million movies have you had in a row? What? Oh, wait, how many $100 million movies have you had? Go fuck yourself! It's like the media fawns over like these worthless people like Jessica Alba or Paris Hilton. Then they rip on Tom Cruise. Okay, sure, he jumped on a couch and married someone who's like way younger than him, but
yeah,
people in Hollywood do that all the time. Maybe that's a couch jumping part.
Yeah. Yeah, other than the couch jumping, I mean, who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at, like, Nicole Kidman, like, look at her face, like, is pulled taut every year, I mean.
Yeah.
And she's got, like, a Michael Jackson nose going on. I'm sure she's a total bitch.
It's sad. She used to be such a good-looking woman, but now she's turning into plastic surgery woman.
She's probably friends with Michael Jackson.
Probably.
He's
yeah.
like, here, give you a card. You know Michael Jackson had too much plastic surgery when, like, you know, the mother of one of his kids was his plastic surgeon's assistant.
It's really?
True. It's true.
Wow. Well, I suppose, you know, he was in there every other day. It was basically like date time, you know.
Maybe that's why, you know. He wanted to, like, you know, hook up with this chick.
He's like,
Judd Apatow, how am I going to win my way to her heart?
It's like, I know, I got up a kooky comedy where you go in there and keep getting plastic surgery. Oh, and you smoke pot.
Well, of course.
And
you're a big loser.
And you are Seth Rogen.
But somehow you still get Katherine Heigl at the end of the movie.
No matter what Leslie Mann says. I would rip that ass up. But you were too old and you were too pregnant. You still never seen George of the Jungle?
No.
Leslie Mann's in that.
That's true.
Leslie Mann, that's her new name.
Well, I haven't seen, like, Mighty Joe Young or whatever that one is that's got Charlize and Paxton in it.
I don't see how we haven't watched that for Shitty Movie Night. It's from the director of Tremors, too.
Oh, Underwood?
Yep.
Oh.
So, yeah, the director of Tremors, which is one of the best movies ever made, right next to Wimbledon. And it has... Wimbledon is the secret key to the universe.
So it is the new Kevin Bacon, apparently.
No, I can connect. I can connect the success of Batman and Joker Man, whatever it was called, Dark Knight. That connects right to Wimbledon. You know how? I'll tell you how. Okay, so... Aaron Eckhart was in Thank You for Smoking with J.K. Simmons, right?
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons had this magical dust on him that he had obtained from being in that one movie. Spider-Man 2.
That one movie.
You know?
With Elizabeth Banks.
Ah, see? It's all coming together. And even though she was in Slither, she was in all three Spider-Man movies. Oh, I figured out another great connection. Check this out. Okay. You know Dunst?
Yeah.
She was making Wimbledon, right?
Yeah.
And John Favreau was in it as Paul Bettany's agent. And he's like, wow, I finally got to meet her. She's my hero. I love Jumanji. I should go make Zathura. Huh?
Oh,
huh?
God.
See how it's starting to get together?
Oh, Lord. And that worked out so well for him.
Yes, okay, he shouldn't have done that.
But then he did make Iron Man, and he had something to prove when he made Iron Man then. So.
That's true. And he cast Gwyneth Paltrow, who needs to be in more movies.
Oh, and we did get to watch Speed Racer for Shitty Movie Night, and it really wasn't that bad of a movie, actually.
No, I actually wouldn't mind seeing that again in high def, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I actually wanted to see where it goes. I mean, you get to see John Goodman kick the shit out of a ninja.
Yes.
What more do you need in a movie?
That ninja comes in, I'm like, oh, I hope John Goodman fights it. And he does.
And he kicks the shit out of him. That was great.
What about,
and then it had that great greasy villain dude, and just chewed the scenery. It was awesome.
I remember when he was bribing everybody, and the guy was looking at the pile of money, and there's money sign in his eyes. I mean, granted, it's not really a movie for kids, because I kind of doubt kids understand the plot. I barely understood the plot, but who cares? It had cars in it, and they were like racing fast, and things blew up.
Oh,
see,
God.
It's okay for a movie to be bullshit as long as it's entertaining.
Yes.
You know?
Unlike The Love Guru.
Oh, my God.
Which was god-awful. It was, like, worse than I imagined it would be, and I imagined it to be pretty goddamn terrible. But, yeah, it was not good. It's a good thing we watched that one first. We kind of knew it was going to be the turd of the litter, so...
And it had, of course, Jessica Alba in it.
Oh, yeah.
There's some more connections. What was it? Oh, God.
Well, you could connect, you know, like Tom Cruise to Wimbledon, of course, via Interview with a Vampire.
Oh,
since Kirsten Dunst was in it.
And Bernard Hill, who was in Titanic, and Lord of the Rings, was in Wimbledon.
And then you had Sam Neill in it, and he was in, like, Jurassic Park and stuff.
Another big hit movie. And Paul Bettany, who is the star of Wimbledon, not only is married to sandwich hater Jennifer Connelly, but he was the voice of the computer thing in Iron Man.
Oh.
Ah. See the connection now?
Oh. Well, there you have it.
Wimbledon is the center of the universe.
How does Wimbledon connect to Lawrence of Arabia?
Give me a second here. Okay. Let's see. Who is... Well, oh, God. Well, you know, usually when you do the Connect the Movie games, you always get a Lawrence of Arabia, usually with Alec Guinness.
Yeah, I was going to say either looks like... Well, yeah.
Well, he was in Troy. You could use Troy.
Because he
That's
was in Troy.
Movie.
And, like, Orlando Bloom and Eric Bana were in that.
And Orlando Bloom was in Elizabeth Town.
Oh, that's easy. Brad... Well, yeah, Elizabeth Town or Brad Pitt, who was in Interview with the Vampire, because Brad Pitt was in Troy as well, so... There it is.
It's all
That's not even
to
6 degrees.
The 6 degrees of Wimbledon. Okay, let's connect Wimbledon to... Let's see, what else? What's another classic good movie?
So you probably couldn't connect it to Metropolis.
No, you haven't seen that yet.
No,
you should
someday.
It's quite the movie.
Let's see, Citizen Kane.
Ugh.
It could be done because Orson Welles was in Transformers,
yes,
for Christ's sake.
Leonard Nimoy and Robert Stack.
Yep, and Judd Nelson. And Eric Idle.
Coronation Starscream, this is bad comedy.
Well, you could have Leonard Nimoy, which of course would connect to, like, Shatner,
yep,
from Star Trek, and then Shatner gets you to some, you know, more...
Shatner's been in a lot of movies,
like
Showtime or Miss Congeniality.
Yep.
Oh, we're trying to get to Wimbledon?
Yeah, let's see. Well, De Niro and Eddie Murphy were in Showtime with Shatner.
Yes.
Can't think of who else was in that.
Well, Shatner's in Boston Legal with James Spader.
Yeah.
Stargate Man, yeah, who was in Stargate with Snake Plissken, who was in Vanilla Sky with Tom Cruise. No, that's too far.
Yeah, that might be too many. What about De Niro or Eddie Murphy? Do they somehow get to Kirsten Dunst? They've both been in a shitload of movies.
Yeah, that's true. So who are we... What was the movie?
Oh, Citizen Kane, which we went... Okay, so we went from that to Transformers, which is our first one, I guess. And then we went from that to, like, a Star Trek movie to get to Shatner.
Right.
And then from Shatner to... Well, actually,
you know,
the Vanilla
Orson
Sky...
Orson Welles is probably turning in his grave to know he's being connected using the Transformers movie.
Yeah, that's one of his best movies ever. So...
Well, Joseph Cotten was in Citizen Kane, as well as Agnes Moorehead.
Yeah, or you could go to Touch of Evil with Chuck Heston.
And
then that brings you...
Chuck gets you
to... He was in True Lies.
Or Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes, yeah. With,
And we're trying to get to Wimbledon, right?
Yeah.
Well, you could use Helena Bowen Carter, who was in Fight Club with Brad Pitt, who was in an Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
Is that the right number of steps?
I think that would be.
Pretty close, though.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the audience loves to hear this amazing...
They're like, when are these guys going to shut the
stream
fuck up?
...of consciousness. All right, well, we're going to have to let you go. But, we'll try to have another podcast in 2 weeks, get back on the horse there, and... We'll talk to y'all later.
Play more Wimbledon 6 Degrees stuff in the comments.
Hey, the thing I like about Wimbledon is she's just like, you know, in the movie, she plays like the most normal person she ever has.
Yeah.
Because usually she's like this magical pixie woman who's like, love is a blanket you hold over your soul or shit like that, you know? In Wimbledon, she's just like, hey, let's fuck.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
It's you know, and it has Bernard Hill.
What more do you need?
His hands remember their strength when they hold a sword or whatever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works.
And then he sank the Titanic.
Well, somebody had to.
Okay, we'll see you next time.
Otherwise, it wouldn't have been historically accurate.